This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Chris Graham is with me. He's the founder and editor at the Augusta Free Press, online at augustafreepress.com. Chris, how are you, sir?
Great, Coy. How are you?
Very good. So it's a little quiet in the valley, news-wise?
It is. You know, nothing major on the news front at this point. I guess the local governments are gearing up for their budget season, just as they are everywhere across the Commonwealth, and sort of wait-and-see mode as far as they're concerned to see what the General Assembly is able to do in the next week or so as they work towards finalizing a state budget, at least getting a budget they can get to the governor.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, it's kind of quiet, not any major issues burning over here right now.
Chris, over the years, you and I have talked about major new shopping centers that were coming to Augusta County, which is, you know, as we know, has become the shopping locale of choice for a lot of folks in Western Albemarle. Just a hop, skip, and a jump over the mountain, and there's your all the stores you could want. And as far as I'm concerned, one of the very best grocery stores in this area, and that's Martin's, which is Giant's upscale, which I really think is as good as a Whole Foods over here or anything than in Charlottesville. But we've talked about a big shopping center that was supposed to be built in Stanton at the entrance to the Farmers Museum, and there was another big shopping center that was going to go in right along the highway in Waynesboro near the Home Depot. What's the status on those? Do you know if they're ever going to be built?
Well, I know in Stanton that there actually is the issue with the old Western State Hospital property. I guess it's still a current Western State Hospital property. The state and the city of Stanton had worked out a deal about a year ago or so, where the state is going to give the city some land. The city's going to give the state some land. Right now, Western State Hospital is a sprawling campus. You know, the Western State Hospital is a hospital for people with mental health issues. It was built back in the 40s or 50s, at a time when a lot of people were institutionalized for the care of mental health issues. Well, it was built for a population of potentially 5,000 or 6,000 people. There are now about 300 or so people who are there on a regular basis. So they have all these buildings out there that aren't being utilized. So with this, and it's close to the Interstate 64, Interstate 81 nexus with 250, right there, very accessible by lots of things. And the city thought that was very developable land for marketing purposes, consumer and retail purposes. So what the city did was it purchased some property on the same general locale, but further away from the main drag, so to speak, and they swapped that with the state, and the city agreeing as well to pay $15 million to the state for the construction of a new Western State Hospital. Well, part of that deal was that they would be working with a development partner to develop this area, this commercial area. The city had an agreement to negotiate with an outside private partner that the Economic Development Authority had voted this week to pull back from. Basically, they felt like they weren't getting anywhere with the deal, so the city pulled back from that deal, and they're basically back to square one with a little bit of a scary thing coming up in about a year or so, a deadline to start paying the money to the state for its part of the building of the new Western State Hospital.
So that whole thing could fall through.
And actually the swap of land and the payment to the state is a done deal. That's going to happen. The city could be on the hook. But I guess, they're still a year out or a little bit more than a year out from that. And what's, at least from the city's perspective, this gives them the opportunity to maybe work out a better deal with another potential developer. As the economy is improving, and we're all seeing that be the case, we all expect there will be renewed interest in projects like this. And so from the city's perspective, they want to make sure they get the best deal possible. I saw a quote from the Economic Development Director, Bill Hamilton, a guy I know really well. Basically, his statement to it is if the city has to, maybe eat something for the next year or so in terms of paying the state, they still want to get the best possible deal for their city taxpayers, and they're willing to do the work they need to do to get there. So that is interesting, though, because that is a property that, is close to 81, 64, 250, right there near the Walmart, near the Frontier Culture Museum, which some people may be familiar with there in Stanton. And it's a very highly visible piece of property, and so you got to think that it is going to be very attractive as developers poke their head out of the ground and look around and say, hey, the world's still here, the economy's still going, and it's time for us to start doing some stuff again. But right now, it's something that's scary for local leaders in Stanton just because, they have a deadline, so to speak, with paying the state back.
We're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press. Chris, your thoughts about Jim Webb saying he wasn't going to run again, and observers saying that the Democrats have a very shallow bench, and who will step up? It's been reported nationally that former Virginia Governor Tim Kaine is in talks with his buddy President Obama about running for that seat. Could we see a Tim Kaine, George Allen matchup in this race for the Senate to replace Webb?
I'll say first off, I think we will see Tim Kaine. I'm not sure about the George Allen part of this, but I think we will see Tim Kaine. I think that's going to become very clear, I think, relatively soon. I'm not surprised Jim Webb decided to step back. My read of him all along was that he really doesn't like the electoral part of politics. He's a very good senator. A lot of people on both sides of the aisle would say that he's been a very effective senator of Virginia. He's worked with members of the Democratic caucus and Republican caucus on some important issues. You know, he gets a lot of praise for his work on the new GI Bill, for example, and some other pieces of legislation, but that's really his centerpiece. So he's been a very good senator, but you know, you have to be a very you know, politically minded to want to run. And I even noticed during his 2006 run, his heart didn't seem to be into that, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies part of politics that you have to be very good at to get in those jobs and be able to do the kind of things he's done in the Senate. So it doesn't surprise me at all. The only thing that surprised me to a degree was that he waited as long as he did to tell people that. I think Tim Kaine and his public, you know, waffling, so to speak, on whether or not he's going to run, I think that's maybe just to give Jim Webb a buffer. I think all along Tim Kaine has been positioning for this. You know, looking back, I think it might make sense when we see Tim Kaine, you know, formally announced, as I expect he will, that Kaine's elevation to the DNC chair position, the Democrat National Committee job that he took really at the end of the last year of governor and then has been working full-time since then, I think was a way to keep his name in the national profile and the state profile so that he could you know, still have some name recognition if and when he decided to run for the Senate seat, which, you know, a lot of us thought that would come open with Jim Webb stepping back. So I would be tremendously surprised if Tim Kaine is not the guy. That said, as far as the bench that's there, I'm hearing a lot of support for a potential Tom Perriello run. And, of course, Tom lost his reelection battle there in the 5th District in November. But, you know, it's not been that long since Democrats have run in the 30s in the 5th District. He was the first and only candidate in the last two cycles, you know, since Virgil Goode was a very conservative Democrat back in the 90s. As a Democrat, to get you know, good numbers, and even 46% or 47% or whatever it was in November was a very strong showing for a Democrat.
Yeah.
I think Perriello, with his work in the Congress, would have a lot of support in Northern Virginia and Richmond, Hampton Roads, traditional Democratic areas. I think his cachet would spread to those areas. If he could do well enough in South Side and Southwest, and I think he's shown he can do well enough in the 5th District in the South Side, that, you know, he could be an interesting candidate. So he, Terry McAuliffe, would be another interesting one. Terry McAuliffe's been gearing up for a possible run for governor in 2013. He would just have to ramp that back a year and look at 2012. So Democrats have some interesting candidates out there.
You know what Tim Kaine does not have that Tom Perriello does have, and that's a vote for health care in Washington, which I think would hurt Perriello with a lot of conservative independents.
It could, you know, but the jury's still out there too. We're 18 months from November 2012, you know, healthcare reform. I think in general, even it's weird. We're only 3 or 4 months past the November elections, and it seems to me that the political climate nationally and maybe statewide has changed a bit. I'm not saying it's gone from Republican to pro-Democrat, but it does feel like maybe the fervor that had been engendered by Republicans and Tea Party candidates in advance of the 2010 elections has died back a little, been dialed back a bit. And that maybe the environment's a little different right now. You know, if the economy improves, and, you know, Larry Sabatino would love to say, you know, if the economy is stupid, if the economy improves, you know, the incumbents in power, you know, and then Barack Obama running in 2012 would be the incumbent running for re-election there. You know, they're going to look better in the voters' eyes. And so maybe running on the coattails would be helpful. So yeah, you're right, though. That is a major issue. Tim Kaine has not had to cast a vote on any of those issues.
The Democrats are going to get together this weekend for their big fundraiser at the JJ Dinner in Richmond. Tim Kaine is going to be a speaker. I guess all eyes will be on him to see how he sort of spins this story. I mean, I wouldn't think he would make an announcement this weekend, but he has an opportunity to totally to turn this thing down this weekend too.
He did, and I think his presence there says something, at least in the terms of the networking that he'll be able to do. Of course, he's Tim Kaine. He's won 2 statewide races in Virginia. So for me to say he needs to network a little bit is a little bit ridiculous. But, you know, it is. He's got to be there. He's got to press the flesh a little bit just to say, hey, I'm still Tim Kaine. I'm still the guy who was governor. I was a lieutenant governor. I was the mayor of Richmond. Don't forget me. And, of course, there is all the eyes are right now on him and what he's going to do and what he's going to say. I'm like you. I don't think he's going to announce this weekend because I think, you know, you want to set that up in a different way. You want to have your own event and that kind of thing. But I wouldn't be surprised if in those closed-door meetings he has with some top Democratic leaders across the state that he's not going to be letting the news out there about whatever his plans are, good or bad, in terms of running in 2012. And, you know, he really kind of owes that to whoever else might be in the running if he decides not to run. It's time, you know, Jim Webb, with his announcement recently, opened the door up. There's plenty of time now for candidates to get themselves ready and prepared for a run in 2012. And if Tim Kaine isn't going to run, he needs to tell people that now so that whoever is on that bench decides to put him on that bench.
He got
to
do something fast. He got to do something fast. Really quick, before we run out of time, your thoughts about the Republican nomination. You think it's George Allen's nomination to lose?
That's interesting. You know, it depends on what day of the week it is. I think it... You know, on the surface, it does look like George Allen to lose, but, you know, I'm hearing, I get a lot of emails from people who are Tea Party supporters who say that, you know, they're just not George Allen fans. And so I'm interested by that. And, of course, a Republican primary is going to be dominated by, you know, the more conservative voters, and the Tea Party folks are certainly, a big part of that base. So, you know, I'm not sure that Jamie Ratke is the solution for Republicans. I think that's the best way to guarantee that Democrats will win in 2012 is to nominate a person who's not known. Nothing against Jamie Ratke personally, but just that, but you know, she's not known, doesn't have a cachet, hasn't held a statewide office or any office that I know of. And so that seems to be, you know, that doesn't seem to be the solution, but that doesn't mean that, you know, if someone else out there perceives that George Allen's weak and that there's a lot of support for Tea Party people in general, that that maybe another candidate who does have name recognition could emerge. I know Bob Marshall's throwing his name out there. I'd be surprised to see that direction as well from Republicans, but you know, I think that race is still open and pretty wide open. And George Allen had to get in the race early because he's got to repair some relationships, not just, you know, of course, with general voters. I think he'll always be known, unfortunately, for a lot of people as the guy who said macaca. And for his sake, that's unfortunate. But you know, I think with conservatives out there, this little blowback you're hearing from Tea Party folks, they seem to want him to reach out to them again. And so he's got a lot of work to do. That's why he had to come out as early as he did. But I think that there could be somebody out there, maybe a couple candidates out there, who read this and say, hey, this might be my time. This might be my time to jump in there. So yeah. I don't think that race is settled quite yet.
Chris Graham, the founder and editor of the Augusta Free Press, online at AugustaFreePress.com. Chris, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.